You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Monday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 16th of December, 2024. It is a Monday. It is the last Monday show for the year 2024. Can you believe it? It's been quite a season, I must say, and one that I think I've really, really enjoyed. And what a way to close the season, because my guest this evening is one that I think is not only for history, but for the books as well. One day when we talk about this particular guest joining me this evening, I think you'll agree with me that maybe a monument of some sort we need to put there, right? Today we're talking about using emotional intelligence for financial success there. It's a big topic, and I think one that is very timely and relevant. And in the world where technology is clearly taking over, well, we need to ask ourselves, how is this emotional intelligence important for building financial success? Well, emotional intelligence and self-regulation is necessary for the process of financial activity. Did you even think about that? Yeah, it ensures informed decision-making, considering consequences and perspectives. Now, Vangile Magwagwa, who is now considered a friend of the show, is an entrepreneur, money trauma coach, and author of three books, in fact, including Heart, Mind, and Money, Using Emotional Intelligence for Financial Success. And that is the subject of our conversation this evening. Once again, good evening, ma'am, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Tapelo. This is amazing.
It is.
Can't believe it's the last Monday show.
Listen, for this season of 2024, this is the last one. And I said to my producer, what a way to close a Monday, because who better than Vangile? I mean, let's be honest. Who better than Vangile to do the last show for the year at 2024 on a Monday? No pressure, by the way. No pressure. No pressure at all. But as we round it up, I just want to also just go back to the books that you wrote. If you can give my listeners just one last run on the books that you've written.
Okay, so I've written Heart, Mind, and Money, Using Emotional Intelligence for Financial Success. And I've written What's Your Money Personality? Yay. Changing the Way Black Families Manage Their Finances. Mm. And then I've also got a journal called The Womb and Money Journal, which is about using womb wisdom to change your finances.
Ooh, look at that. And we're talking about how you are globetrotting. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, how on earth is someone having the time to globetrot so much? And I must say, I've been eyeing your Airbnbs as well. I was like, my goodness, does this lady ever rest? Do you ever rest, Vangile?
I do. I'm a big believer in rest. But actually, I'm so glad you asked that, because I've actually just come from I've just woken up from a Sunday nap.
Yeah.
But I'm a big believer in rest. But honestly, and a lot of people tend to think that travel is rest, and it's not always. Hey?
Exactly.
So I've just been onto the next city, I hadn't, like, I really, really missed my apartment. Yeah. So just coming back, I just feel like I can't even, I don't even want to move again.
You know what?
Like, go to another Airbnb or a hotel. I'm just like, oh my God, it's so nice to be home.
Because you've been up and down, hey? You've been really up and down. But for good reasons and good measure, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been work, it's been fun, it's been exploring.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is not so bad. Yeah. I've had like years when like I'm not, at least this has been the same country. I mean, like, I've had years, there's some years where life escapes me and I'm in a new country every 30 days. Yo. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm giving myself props.
Yes.
It's not bad. Like, I stayed in the same country.
I've been flipping hands as I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh my goodness. That's like a full life, isn't it? I mean, doing things you love and being able to travel as much as you want.
Yeah, I know. It's been one of the best experiences. I think being able to travel has been one of my biggest gifts. Yeah, I think it's been a blessing. I also realize that like it's just a thing that I've been given. So it's never on my bucket list to travel,
Oh
actually.
my, it just happens. Oh my goodness. You are blessed. You really are blessed, huh? Oh wow, that's really nice. Okay, without wasting much of your time, we're talking about using emotional intelligence for financial success. Now, where do these two join? That is emotional intelligence and our finances. Because some might even think, what's the connection? Is there even a connection between these two concepts?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us are making financial decisions out of emotion,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
So in my first book, Heart, Mind, and Money, that's where I started talking about this concept of emotional intelligence for financial success, which is that often, like when we have no money, we lose our heads. When we have money, we lose our heads, you know? December's coming up. I don't know if people remember, but one song, one of our December songs was Imali is a bank or something like that. You know, basically that we don't sleep because we have money. And I think that's very, very true for most people. And then there's some people who are not sleeping because they feel like they don't have money. So I definitely feel like there's a lot that we need to work on when it comes to money and our emotions. And a lot of that has to do with how we respond when we have money and when we don't have money. So when I talk about emotional intelligence for financial success, most people have been taught that they need to think positively and they need to think big when it comes to, like have like big emotions of gratitude and thankfulness when it comes to money, and that's how they change their finances. And what I teach is we don't even need to get to the gratitude. You just need to get to neutrality, where like you're able to look at your bank account. And regardless of if there's 100,000 in there or minus 1,000 in there, you're able to just feel okay. You know, you're still able to make financial decisions, you're able to think properly, and you don't lose yourself. So that's what emotional intelligence with financial, or using emotional intelligence for financial success is. It's you're able to basically keep calm regardless of how dire things look. And actually, that's what you want. It's not the joy, it's not the gratitude, the excitement, all of that. You want a regulated and neutral nervous system where, like, there's money and you can still think. You're not like, ooh, there's money. Oh my gosh.
And all of a sudden, your emotions take over, and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna buy that, I'm gonna buy that, I'm gonna buy that. And then you go out splashing all that money without really thinking twice. And I think that's normally our default setting when we have money, because I think a lot of us are used to a minus in our bank accounts, right? Are used to not having money. And all of a sudden, there's 100,000 rand, maybe like a windfall or some or other, I suppose, bonus or something. And then we think the world is our oyster now. And then we go out there emotionally, without being emotionally intelligent, I suppose.
Like it feels like the world becomes our oyster because there's money. But the flip side of that is that when there's no money, then you it's equally as bad. Then the world starts to shrink, you know? And then you're making decisions from a very, very financial standpoint, not making decisions based on what's best for you in that moment. There's no emotional intelligence, you know?
And should then our emotions, I suppose, play a role in our financial decision? Should they, or should we recognize the pattern of emotions playing through? How do we deal with these emotions?
Well, I think that's such a valid point. I think the first thing is becoming self-aware. So self-awareness is the first thing. Most of us don't even know what emotions we feel around money. Like, I know I speak for myself. When I started writing Heart, Mind, and Money and started doing the work that I was doing around money, I used to think I just had a constant anxious feeling around money. I just classified everything as anxiety and fear. And then I started to realize that, wait a minute, like there are a ton of other emotions that I'm not even talking about or that I can even name or understand that I feel. I remember the day I realized that one of the biggest emotions I was feeling around money wasn't necessarily fear or anxiety, but shame. And that I'd never addressed that shame, especially around my debt. That was life-changing for me because then I could become aware. So first step to awareness, I love giving people very practical advice because a lot of people always say to me, people say you become aware, but what does that look like and how do I become aware? And I think these are really, really valid points because nobody tells you what is self-awareness, how do we get to self-awareness. Well, the first step of self-awareness is to sit down and observe your emotions, right? So, and how do you observe your emotions around money? Well, the first thing is you can actually put aside time for that. Most of us like think that your emotions are just something that just can't come up in the moment. You can actually pre-plan for those emotions by looking at your bank account for 5 minutes a day and then just observing your for 5 minutes and then observing the sensations in your body for 5 minutes and then just and then journaling what came up for you and what thoughts are coming up. Those thoughts, those emotions are going to inform you about what you're actually thinking about when it comes to money. So self-awareness is the first key. And then when you are just observing your breath and observing your the sensations in your body, you're retraining the amygdala, the reptilian part of the brain, not to react to whatever it is seeing in your bank account. So actually now we're getting into the space of emotional intelligence where we're actually starting to just let the nervous system realize that you are safe, there's nothing happening, so there is no need to react every time money is a topic or every time you see money. So now you don't have to lose it when it comes to anything financial or monetary. So, and I think that becomes really, really important and key on this financial journey. So that's how you start developing emotional intelligence. It's, I don't think that you use willpower to master your emotions, which a lot of people talk about. I think you use a lot of just observation and giving yourself permission to feel whatever you're feeling around money. And if people want to get even more deeper, they can start tracking on a daily basis how much money comes into their bank account, you know, and then just start observing how they feel about that. Even if nothing is coming in, that is going to be a game changer because you start bringing all those emotions to the surface.
I'm actually having goosebumps as you speak about this because I'm trying to think to myself, how am I feeling right now? Now that you mentioned that, I must look at my bank account and observe the emotion that I'm having. So I'm thinking now, I'm like, how much is in my bank account right now? And I'm observing how I feel. And it's, I've never actually had this because when I look at my bank, usually when you look at our bank accounts, right, is just seeing how much is left or whatever, if there's anything left, but never to observe how I actually feel just looking at it. I'm not looking at it right now because I'm like, Vangile, don't put me under pressure, please. But I'm just, you know, looking at my emotions and observing. I feel a little bit of goosebumps because I'm like, okay, I've never really done this. And it's scary. Do you find that your clients also have the same thing?
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like I usually run once a year the bank account challenge for free because there's a 5-day process to this, right? I then also tie values to this. It's a whole process. And I do it over 5 days. And people usually don't even last the 5 days. Like, I'll have thousands of people sign up, and then people will be like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even get to the point where I had to open up the app. And I always say to people, that's a good thing. That's also information feedback.
Yeah.
Because I think that we live in a society that says that if you can't do it, then you're wrong. I'm a big believer that, like, if you can't do something, that is information feeding back to you, telling you that you can't do something, and now we have somewhere to start. Why can't you do this thing? Right? Can we take a look at that particular thing as to why you can't do it, why it's not happening, and how we can actually work through it, what's going on with that? Because it's not actually just about looking at the bank account. It's about what you're going through, even going to the bank account. That itself, you can also just sit with those emotions. Because how we've been taught to interact with money is from a space of, I don't have enough. I have enough. It's really like from a very, very, I think, I want to say very, like, up, like very surface level state. But our relationship with money is so much deeper. It's like any other relationship. I always tell people that it's like a relationship that, like a romantic relationship, because you're constantly interacting with money. So now you have the opportunity to go deeper. So it's okay if also the first day you're like, oh my God, me to do this, I can't do it, and for a whole week you're struggling. The point is, every day you come back, you try to open up the app. If you're not opening it up, it's fine, it's still feedback. You sit with that and you notice, oh my gosh, I'm feeling anxiety, I'm feeling this fear, this is weird, okay, let's go deeper in this.
I'm actually feeling a little bit of anxiety. And I'm like, okay, let's end this conversation because it's making me feel some type of way. And I think I really like that it's unearthing something in me, right? And I'm now engaging with my bank in a different way as I'm listening to you. Yes, I haven't opened it, but I'm feeling certain things. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is true, then I need to interact with it a whole lot more. Not only when there's a notification or when I know that, you know what, I've just swiped this X amount of money. And sometimes you don't even look at it because we disabled SMSs these days because these SMSs are just traumatizing us as well. So we don't want an SMS from the bank telling me that this much is left, you just swipe. No, I just want to swipe, and I'll check some other time when I see how much is left in my bank account and all that. But let me then ask this. Is there a place for self-regulation, I suppose, and maybe managing impulsive buying? Are we not suppressing our feelings and emotions when we are regulating how we are spending and trying to run away from, say, impulsive tendencies around money?
Oh, I love this question. Actually, on the contrary, because think about it, right? Now you weren't even thinking of buying anything. We're actually bringing all that to the surface so that when you go buying, something shifts. So what often happens, and I love that my clients always report back on this, they say, over time, because I also have an exercise for people, in especially when I run my bank account challenge or when I do it in the course, is I tell clients, when you go shopping, the very same thing that you do, when that I'm telling you to do, you would write down your core values.
Okay.
And you would choose five core values that are in alignment with you. And when you go shopping, you ask yourself questions like, is this in alignment with my core values? Something as small as toothpaste, you know, maybe the particular brand of toothpaste, just, you know, you're one of those people that's like anti-fluoride or whatever. And you're like, no, actually, I prefer the natural brand, even though it's more expensive, it's more in alignment with your values. So you choose that. It's not about, I always say to people, think of financial behavioral changes as something almost like when we are making food, when we're changing our nutritional habits. Often we're changing, when it comes to food, we're trying to eat better, right? But what we do is we go on a diet and we use so much willpower to suppress our own emotional needs. And at some point, 3 weeks into the diet, you're binge eating, right? You're eating everything inside because you have been using willpower to suppress all that. That's what happens with most of us on a diet or on a budget when we're trying to regulate. We're on a diet, basically. Think about the same thing. What we do on diets is basically the same kind of behavior that we do on a budget. It's constantly, don't buy, don't buy, don't buy. Whereas when it's a lifestyle change, we're giving ourselves permission when we're like, I'm just going to eat healthier. Then it just becomes about, it's not about cutting out everything. It's more about, I'm just going to make different choices. I'm still going to eat every meal, unlike a diet where I'm not eating some meals, I'm just eating a salad. I'm still going to eat a full plate of food, but instead of having bread, I may choose to have like broccoli on the plate. You know, so I'm still getting full and I'm still getting satiated. So when we're doing this and we're spending in alignment with our values, what we're doing is we're not saying, I'm never the person, I'm not a believer in my work of telling people not to go spend on the Gucci handbag. If a Gucci handbag is in alignment with your core values, go spend on it, because at the end of the day, it's going to be like the diet. If you know chocolate cake is your jam, and then you don't allow yourself any kind of chocolate cake, at some point, you're going to break in 3 weeks and go have a whole thing of chocolate cake. This is a slice of chocolate cake, right? So it's better to give yourself that permission and then to work with your personality and accept yourself to say, I am never going to be the person that gives up chocolate cake, you know, if that's a thing for you. So how do we work with that? Then a if we're doing nutritional planning, then it's like, oh, have you tried raw vegan chocolate cake? Okay, you don't like that. Let's try this other one. This has got less calories. Let's try this. Then you're still getting your fix, you know? So, and then the other thing that I say to people is when you go shopping, so now that you've shopped in alignment with your core values, what you want to do at the till is you also want to notice your breath and the sensations in your body always. And just keep coming back to your breath and just ask and just observing, how do I feel about paying for items? And if it feels too nerve-wracking, too anxious, I literally tell clients, leave the shopping cart
immediately
and then go regulate and then come back and try again tomorrow or take a few items, because that dysregulation is going to come out somewhere else in your shopping. So if you're there, part of you, you'll, that's when you walk out of the grocery shop, you've done a great job. Now you've used all your willpower to regulate your nervous system instead of using all the tools and nervous system regulation stuff like your breath, all of that. You're going to walk out of there and you will not be able to deal with the voice in your head that says, you deserve a Prada handbag, or Prada shoes. And that's when people will like save pennies, but end up spending thousands on something else because they've been using willpower to do everything. So you're just really feeling compassion and noticing all that. And over time, it becomes easier and easier. And you start to know what is in alignment with your core values. Like I have clients who now say to me, I could walk out of a mall only with like two items that I really needed. Where before, I couldn't do that. Like every sale was calling me.
I was listening to some podcast yesterday around wealth and financial creation and all that. I think the presenter was underscoring what you're saying to say, say you've saved up for a particular item and that item is X amount. You get to the store, it's discounted for some other reason. The heavens are with you, you know, and it's no longer 10 rand, it's now 5 rand. So the question was, how many of us would actually then pay 5 rand and come back with the other 5 rand? Because we almost jump and say, oh my goodness, it's 5 rand. So what else can I buy now with this other 5 rand? No, you came for this particular item. it just so happened that it was on sale on that day, right? And you are supposed to just buy it and go back because that's what you came for. You are just, I suppose, lucky because it's now 5 rand for that particular day. But I tell you, I was thinking about it. That's what we do. We get there and it's now 5 rand from 10 rand. I'm not going to go back with that other 5 rand. I'm looking for ice cream there, a little bit of something there, just so I spend that 10 rand that I gave you for. Our brains work in miraculous way. Okay, let's round it up then by asking this one. So, practical steps. It's the end of the year. It's the last show. It's the end of Business Sense for this year. What are some practical steps that you can share to boost emotional intelligence and finance?
Well, the first thing, is to say, set your financial goals for the year now in December for the new year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sit down and think about how much you want to earn, what you will do to make that money in 2025. Reflect on that. And then reflect on also just how often can you look at your bank account this festive season, right? Without judgment. If you are spending wildly in Decembering, still commit to do this, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about spending less. Yeah. I'm not here to basically make whip you into shape.
Yeah.
That will happen automatically as you do the work. Yes. I promise you, because we're trying to regulate your nervous system. And as your nervous system gets regulated, your internal wisdom starts to kick in around money.
Yep.
So that's the first thing that I would say. Those are the two I would say for people.
Yeah.
And the last action step is also to say, to set a savings goal. To just say, what is it that you want 12 years from now? 12 months now.
Yeah.
Like next year, what would you like to see in your savings?
Yeah.
And not overthink it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big believer in just writing those goals down because I find that when we write them down, things really, really happen.
Yeah.
Amazing things start to shift.
That's beautiful. Well, ma'am, thank you so much for joining us this time and, of course, the other times on the show. We've really enjoyed your insights that you've shared with us, and we pray that may God continue to bless you, and may you have a beautiful resting season as well. May 2025 also bring you blessings as well. I'm pretty sure that we'll connect once again in the new year, but thank you so much for your time this year.
Oh, thank you so much, Tapelo. This has been amazing. And thank you so much for all the listeners who have tuned in. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll talk to you guys in the new year.
Definitely. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Of course, that was financial coach there, Uvangile Makoko. What a way to close the year, right? What a way to have the last personal finance show for this year than to have it with Uvangile. I hope that you're blessed.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.